Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
I want to study a lesson with you that will help us to understand our Lord more fully. It is a lesson that is intended to magnify His greatness. Let us know more about the nature of the Christ to whom we look for salvation. To read something of Him and to try to discover the significance of this which we read to each one of us. Now, I invite your attention to the reading of two passages of Scripture, both of them from the book of Hebrews. You have your New Testament. I invite you to open it to the first chapter of Hebrews. I want to read the first 8 verses of that chapter. And in this first passage of Scripture, there will be a phrase upon which we're going to focus our attention. And then next we want to read a few verses from the second chapter, in which there is also a phrase which we want to study. Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee? And again, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels He saith, Who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. I call your attention to a phrase here in the fourth verse. Being made so much better than the angels. That, of course, with reference to Christ. Now, keeping that in mind, go with me to Hebrews 2, and I'll begin reading with verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. Thou didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he hath put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now you'll notice a phrase here in Hebrews 2 and verse 9, again speaking of Jesus, that he was made a little lower than the angels. Now, in the first chapter, he is made so much better than the angels. And yet, in the second chapter, that which seemingly contradicts that, he is made lower than the angels. Now, just what does this mean? What does this tell us of our Lord? And why is this revelation about him so important to us? In order to comprehend these things, I think it's important that we understand what is the primary purpose of the book of Hebrews. Now, it's called Hebrews because it was written to Jewish people, but Jewish people who had heard the gospel, believed the gospel, obeyed the gospel. They were now Christians. But because they had come to Christ, they were being subjected to what is called Judaizing teachers, or teachers that were trying to persuade them to abandon their newfound Christianity and return back to Judaism, or the religion of the Jews, and back to the law of Moses. The book of Hebrews was written in part not only to glorify Christ, but to prevent this falling away. Now, in spite of the fact that there be some teachers sometimes that say you can't fall away, here is an entire book
One of the prime themes of it is to prevent that very thing from happening, and it had already happened among many. And in so doing, the writer of Hebrews, guided by the Holy Spirit, shows the relationship between Christ and the Old Testament law, or the formal religion of Judaism. And in doing so, he shows the superiority of Jesus Christ over that which had gone before, and shows that now we are under the authority of Christ rather than any authority that had ever gone before or shall ever follow after. And in order to accomplish this purpose, to show the better, that they would not leave the best to go to that which was the least, the writer shows Jesus to be superior to so many things. His law was superior to the law of Moses. His priesthood was superior to the Levitical priesthood under the law of Moses. His sacrifice was superior to the animal sacrifices under the law of Moses. His was a better covenant. He offered better promises. He offered a better hope. And he was over angels, superior to angels. Now the book opens with a reminder that God speaks to man. Now that within itself is good news. God has not simply created us and ignored us. God speaks to man. It's not a question, does God speak to man? He does. How does God speak to man? Now, in former times, he spoke to the fathers and to the prophets in various and sundry ways and sundry times and different manners. And the Jews, of course, respected the things that God had said to the fathers. He respected the things that were spoken through the prophets. But now, God speaks to us through His Son. And we are under the authority of Jesus Christ. We are accountable to God. We're not accountable to God through the Mosaic law which had gone before, which was the authority over the Jewish nation until the coming of Christ. But we are accountable unto the authority of Jesus Christ. And God no longer speaks to us and speaks to man in the same way and manner in which He did. It is now by and through His Son. When His Son ascended into heaven, He had promised the Holy Spirit would come upon the apostles. The apostles would reveal God's will unto man. And God, through His providence, has seen to it that that will is now recorded for us in the all-sufficient, inspired Scripture. So God speaks to us now through Christ, and we find what He speaks as we study our Bible. And as Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration there in the presence of Moses and in the presence of Elijah, two great notables under the old system, He said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." And Christ, before He ascended back into heaven, said, "All authority hath been given unto Me." Not unto Moses, not to those of the past. "Hath been given unto Me." So God speaks to man, thankfully. And God speaks to man through Christ. And God's will is revealed through Christ in the Scripture. Now, the importance of any message depends upon the authority of the messenger. For instance, to illustrate this, if one of us should say that next week interest rates in the country will be reduced to 6%. And after the businessman had recovered from his heart attack of anxiety and happiness, if you should say that, nobody would pay any attention to that. But if the man that's the head of the Federal Reserve System says that, he's the one that sets that rate, that would mean something. Why? Because he has authority to speak. Whereas you and I do not on such a thing as that. He would. Now, the Bible presents to us the gospel of Jesus Christ, which Paul says is God's power unto salvation. What is the authority behind that message? Why, the authority is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. What is it concerning Christ that makes Him so authoritative? Well, among other places of Scripture, we learn right here in this first chapter why what Christ has taught, why He has authority, and why what He says is authority. First of all, He's the heir of all things. This refers to all the things that God had spoken to the fathers and to the prophets in times past. He was the very fulfillment of all those things which they foretold. And not only that, through Him the worlds have been made. Our Lord and Savior, the second person of the Godhead, was present, was a participant in bringing about the very creation. Therefore, he is eternal in nature. In fact, it is expressed here that he has the brightness of the glory of God, the image of God. So we're talking about a personage of deity. And furthermore, it says here too in this first chapter that all things are upheld by him, sustained by him, and by his power. He has superior rank, which is denoted by being on the right hand of God. And then it is also said that he's higher and greater and better than angels. Now, just why would the contention that Christ is better than angels be significant to the Jews then and significant to us now? Those of us who believe in God will believe in the revelation of God that tells us of the reality of angels. We will not deny the existence of angels. Most of the Jews believed in the reality of angels, except for that sect of Jews that were called the Sadducees. They did not, but most of them did. And in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we read repeatedly of God's use of angels to accomplish his purposes in bringing about the salvation of mankind. For instance, it were angels. They came and told Abraham about the forthcoming birth of his child Isaac. God used angels to warn Lot and his family to flee the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Daniel showed that angels were presiding over the courts of princes. It was an angel that smote down Herod. In the early days of the New Testament, when he allowed people to claim that he was a person of deity, God has used angels to reveal messages to his prophets down through the years. God used angels to release Peter and John from prison when they had been placed there because of the preaching of the gospel. Christ could have called down 12 legions of angels, he said, in order to have delivered him, if that had been God's will at the time that he was seized. It was not God's will to do that. Angels were used to announce the coming birth of John the Baptist. Angels were used to announce the coming birth of Jesus Christ. Angels were used to frustrate the devil's purposes concerning the burial of the body of Moses. Angels were used with so many different things. And when the Lord comes again, the Bible says he's going to come with the angels. So we just have repeated references in the Bible about angels, the work of angels, the use of angels, the dignity of angels, the power that God utilized by and through angels. And yet, here is one who is said to be better and higher and greater than the angels. Therefore, he must be one of great authority and deserving of utmost respect. Someone has counted that there are over 200 verses that mention the use, God's use of angels in various and sundry ways. Now, in what way is Christ greater than the angels? Well, first of all, it is said here in verse 4 of chapter 1 that he inherited a more excellent name. In verse 5, it says, no angel was ever called the Son of God. In verse 6, angels are instructed to worship him. Now, the lesser is to worship the greater, not the other way around. The greater is worshipped by the lesser. And angels were to worship Christ, so Christ was superior thereto. It was angels that ministered unto Christ following his temptation, of which we read in Matthew chapter 4. And in verse 13, which we did not read, but is in this same passage, no angel ever occupied the position of being at the Lord's right hand, which was an expression of rank and of power and superiority. No angel was ever called God, as Jesus is here in the second chapter. So, we read all of these different things concerning the relationship of Christ and angels. It's easy to see his superiority. So Christ being greater than angels magnifies before us his authority, his power, his deity, our accountability unto God through him. Now, in what way was Christ lower than angels? Here in the Hebrews chapter 2, the writer quotes from the book of Psalms, chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. And this is what the psalm says. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Now this was spoken to mankind. Man was made of God, created of God. But when God created man, God created man lower than the angels. Now keep in mind, Christ is deity in the heavens, and yet it is said that he was lower than the angels. This obviously refers to the fact, though he was in heaven, as one of the persons of deity, of the Godhead, he left that realm and took on the form of man, a human being, and in that form, therefore, he was lower than the angels. Now, this coming from heaven to take on the fashion of man is revealed by Paul in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now our Lord is not lower than angels now, because our Lord is not walking among men as he did. Our Lord has ascended back into heaven. He has been glorified and been crowned King of kings and Lord of lords, and now reigns at God's right hand on the throne of the Lord. But while he was here upon this earth, he was, as this passage here in Hebrews affirms, made lower than the angels. This tells us that Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, was deity, and deity became humanity as well as deity. Now that's what this passage here affirms. Now dear people, what is the significance of the fact that Christ is both better than the angels, as well as lower than the angels? Well, first of all, thinking about him as being better, it is to know that he's greater, that he's superior, that he is deity, that he has authority, and therefore, and this to my mind is the bottom line of this, the gospel that is delivered from the Father through him is authoritative and binding upon me and you. The message, the word, has its grandeur and its greatness because of the Christ being greater than angels. He is God's way and the only way through which we can be pleasing unto God and can approach God. Christ himself said while here upon this earth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This means he is not only our Savior, he is our only Savior. Acts 4 and verse 12. That means, and this sometimes is difficult for people to grasp, those who are not in Christ and of Christ have no approach to God. And it's not until one does focus his attention and come to approach God through Christ that he will ever be able to be pleasing in the sight of God. And I think you can see without great elaboration what this does to every other religious faith other than the faith of which he is the author and finisher. And because he's better than angels, we see now who he is, and we can place our full trust and our full confidence in him, and we can know this, that our full allegiance belongs to Christ and to no other. Because he is the Son of God, we know that he has the power, and he alone has the power, to break the grip of Satan upon our souls, to forgive us of that which separates us from the Father, to redeem or buy us back into the good safe keeping of the Father in heaven, and through him we enjoy salvation. And because of this, as the first part of Hebrews 2 teaches us, which we did not read, we dare not, brethren, neglect that salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. We dare not turn back. We dare not cast aside that which is proven and shown to be superior for anything else, because anything else will necessarily be inferior and inadequate. Such is the persuasion of Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now to know and to realize that he was made lower than the angels is to know what God has done to save us from sin. The credit for the salvation of any person belongs to God. This is not to say we are not to do the things that God teaches us to do. We most certainly are. But even when we do what we're commanded to do, we have not merited or earned what God provides for us. To know that Jesus was made lower than the angels is to know God's plan for saving man through Christ. Is to know what Christ did on our behalf. And this, dear people, we cannot magnify too much. It is to know that He came and He lived a life and gave an example and that He has suffered death and by His blood we are saved, and because He was raised from the dead, He has power over death and therefore is qualified to offer life unto all mankind, but only through Him. And being made lower than the angels, now, as verse 10 teaches us, He has the power to bring many sons to glory. To know that He was made lower than angels is to know that He died that we might live. Now here are two statements. Better than angels, lower than angels. On the surface, it would seem both could not be. It would have to be one or the other. But when we analyze the significance of these two statements, we see here is deity made humanity, here is authority, here is the one to whom we are accountable. If we be saved, it's through Him. It is because of what God has done by and through Him. It's of most significant significance then, isn't it? A most important significance. A very primary, fundamental, basic teaching concerning the nature of Christ, the role of Christ, and our relationship to Christ in these two, what might appear at first, to be contradictory statements. Therefore, we must come and recognize and accept His authority. And if you would be saved, if I will be saved, it will be through this one of whom the writer speaks with these two phrases. It's just simply a magnificent way in which the Holy Spirit has seen fit to say, here is God's plan. Here is what He has devised. Here is what He designed. This is what He has delivered. And this is the one through whom all the blessings of God will flow unto us of a spiritual nature. So we would persuade you to recognize Christ greater than angels, Christ lower than angels, and come to know the salvation that God wishes to bestow upon you through Him. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? If one truly believes, he will obey. He will obey His command for us to repent, because He has authority to call for that. He will obey the command to confess our faith in Christ and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by His authority, according to His will. And He'll do those things for the purposes that He has specified. It's for the remission of sins. That when we are buried in the waters of baptism, we are washed clean by the blood of Christ and raised to walk in the newness of life, new creatures in Christ. Now, if you haven't done that yet, dear friend, you need to comprehend the significance of being greater yet lower than angels, and you need to respond. Respond to your salvation, but also respond to the glorification of the name of the one who died for you.